I want to begin this morning with just sharing a little about that total solar eclipse, which happened about 5 weeks ago, August the 21st, 2017. And if we could put up the... A solar eclipse is basically an eclipse of the sun, and it is when the sun, the moon, and the earth... when they're lined up, and the moon is between the sun and the earth. And as a result, the sun is darkened and does not give her light. So that's a total solar eclipse would happen, and it's been dubbed the Great American Eclipse, which happened just last month. A partial solar eclipse happens when the moon comes between the sun and the earth, but they don't line up in a perfectly straight line. And because of this, the moon only partially covers the sun's disk. And last month, it was the first time in the US that there's been a total solar eclipse since 1979. Since 1979, in other words, 38 years ago. And the last time that there was a total solar eclipse, which went from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast, in other words, from one coast of the nation to the other, was back in 1918, nearly 100 years ago. And so the solar eclipse on August 21st last month, as I say, dubbed as the Great American Eclipse, it crossed southeast across the US, inking a narrow strip of total darkness over 12 states. It began in Lincoln Beach, Oregon, just after 9 in the morning, passed through 12 states, finished at Charleston, South Carolina, about 2:48 p.m. And it was seen within a 65-mile-wide path from Oregon to South Carolina. And there's about 12 million people who lived, you know, in that path. And it took approximately 2 hours, 42 minutes. And at any one place in that pathway of the total eclipse of the sun, you know, it's daytime, but it's as if it's nighttime because the sun is blocked out for approximately 2.5 minutes. In fact, the longest period was 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Genesis 1 and verse 14, it tells us, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, in the expanse of the sky, to divide the day from the night, and let it be for signs." In the Hebrew, it's signals. Let it be for signs, for signals, for seasons, and for days and years. Jesus, when he's talking about the signs of his second coming, Luke 21, 25, 26, "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress, anxiety, you know, of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear." And it speaks of the powers of the heavens being shaken. Now, it is clear that a solar eclipse, you know, it's a sign from God. It's a sign that is beyond man's control. Man cannot manipulate it, and it becomes prophetically significant and relevant when man understands the timing according to the biblical calendar and the place or where they happen. Now, the sun is about 400 times the diameter of the moon, and so you wonder how it could happen, because it's so small, the moon is so small compared with the sun. But the sun is about 400 times as far from the earth as the moon is. So when we look at it, the moon and the star and the sun, you know, they look approximately the same size. Now, as the sun is larger than the moon, the sun represents the nations of the world as the world follows the sun for their calendar. And the moon represents the nation of Israel as their calendar months are based on the cycles of the moon. And not every solar eclipse is a sign from God, but God uses solar eclipses as warnings to the nations, especially those nations whose path they cross. And God uses that with prophetic significance, which is heightened when they fall, heightened when they fall on the biblical calendar. And we know the story of Jonah. Jonah, he preached to Nineveh, and he preached to them that they would repent. And actually, Jonah, I mean, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he was going to, he told him to go to Nineveh, which was in one direction. Jonah got on a boat and went in the opposite direction because he knew the nature of God, that God was not only a God of judgment, but God was a merciful God. And so Jonah, he did not obey. But then he was swallowed by a fish, huge fish. And then in chapter 3, God comes again. He has a second chance. Go to Nineveh. And this time, the second time, and God is a God of the second chance. Sometimes we mess it up at first. But God, and Jonah messed up big time. But God gave him a second chance. And he went. And he preached the message of repentance. And they repented. And, you know, Jonah was actually angry because he wanted to see them judged. He wanted the judgment of God to come down on Nineveh because of the terrible things that they had done to the Jewish people and how they'd killed them and slaughtered them and ripped up women who were with child. And because of their repentance, judgment did not come upon the people of Nineveh. And I was not aware until recently, but an article I read, a little bit of the background of Nineveh. And the background, Nineveh in the time of Jonah. And in this article, certain things transpired before Jonah went to Nineveh. And it helps us to understand, you know, why they repented. In 765 BC, a plague broke out in Nineveh. Now, at this time, Nineveh was the capital of the greatest nation in the earth. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And there was no greater power, there was no greater empire in the earth. So it was like the greatest city upon earth. But in 765 BC, a plague broke out in Nineveh, where even the king was not able to go to war, as war was the custom. And this was followed by a civil war, and then by another plague. Now, there was a famous eclipse. And this eclipse was a solar eclipse, just like we had 5 weeks ago here in America. And it's verified by NASA, North America Scientific Association in NASA. And it's verified by NASA. It occurred on June 15th, 763 BC. And the actual path of totality, where the sun was blocked out, was right over Nineveh, And that occurred on June 15th, 763 BC. So the path of totality was right over Nineveh. So by now, by the events that had taken place, including the solar eclipse, the people of the city, the Ninevites, they saw the wrath of God closing in on them before Jonah. Before Jonah even arrived a couple of months later. And so when Jonah came, when Jonah actually got to Nineveh, they were ready. They were ripe for repentance. And God knows how to use the sun, the moon for signs. Now, it's very interesting that August 21st, 2017, 5 weeks ago, it is in the Hebrew calendar, is the first of Elul, the first day of the month of Elul. And Elul is the sixth month of the Jewish calendar. And it's when Jonah, on the first of that month, first of Elul, that was the day when Jonah began prophesying. And he said, judgment's coming within 40 days unless they repent. It was the sixth month of the calendar year, 40 days unless they repent. Now, the month of Elul, it is known amongst the Hebrews as the month of repentance. The month of repentance for the 10 days of awe from the Feast of Trumpets to Yom Kippur. And in fact, Yom Kippur, or the Day of Atonement, is on the 10th day of the 7th month. The 7th month is Tishri. And in fact, Tishri, Yom Kippur, it is this Friday, September 29th, day after the convention finishes, is Yom Kippur in Israel, the most solemn day in the Jewish year. It's a day of repentance when they deal with sin. And when this eclipse happened, it was the first day of Elul. And so it was and that was known as the month of repentance for those 10 days between Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets, which is the first day of the 7th month, the first day of Tishri, and then the 10th day of Tishri, or the 10th day of the 7th month, is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. So you have 30 days in the month of Elul, and then there's 10 days, then you come to the Day of Atonement, dealing with sin and repentance from sin. Not amongst the unsaved, but amongst God's people, amongst his people. And so, what is the Lord saying? What is God saying? I believe there's a purpose in that eclipse we've just had. And is the Lord giving us, America, you know, a warning as a nation that we need to repent as Nineveh? Of, you know, we big time we need to repent. But Nineveh, that terrible, wicked nation, and they were violent, they were cruel, they were terrible. Because of that, Jonah did not want to preach to them because he knew the nature of God. That's why he ran the opposite direction. He got in a boat and went off to Tarshish. And God had to bring him back and give him another chance. But Nineveh was warned. And they hearkened to that warning. And God spoke about judgment. But then God repented or relented of that judgment, and they were not destroyed. They were not destroyed during their lifetime. Eventually, 160 years later, eventually Nineveh was destroyed in 612 BC by the Babylonians, by the Medes. But basically, at the time of Jonah, they repented, and God's mercy prevailed. Also, it's interesting that approximately 7 years from now, There's going to be another total eclipse running from the south to the northeast across the US on April 8th, 2024. And April 8th is significant because that is Nisan 1, or the first day, like New Year's Day, the beginning of the biblical year. And it is the anniversary of the dedication of Moses' tabernacle, which is the first day of the first month, Nisan 1, when God reasserted himself in the affairs of men. And that is where the glory of God came, you know, in the time of Moses and in Moses' tabernacle. And, you know, we are living in very, very serious times. But even since this eclipse, just in the last 5 weeks, what have we had? Hurricane Harvey. Before people even recovering from that, there's Hurricane Irma. Property damage alone, they say, not just millions, but the billions, estimate for $40 to $60 billion. Widespread flooding, houses completely destroyed, millions without power, deaths. And then nearby, Hurricane Maria, Puerto Rico devastated. Nearby in Mexico, 3 earthquakes this month. You know, God is shaking what can be shaken. And, you know, the last days are upon us. And there is no doubt that this nation, that our nation, the USA, deserves judgment. I mean, every year since January 73, when abortion was legalized, every single year since then, more than 1 million babies have been aborted, or in God's eyes, have been murdered. It is estimated that 1 in 3 women have had an abortion by the age of 45 years. As a nation, we have changed God's laws. We have turned from the Lord as a nation. We've legalized homosexual marriages, something that is an abomination unto the Lord. We deserve judgment, as Nineveh deserved judgment. And I believe all these, what's been happening is, I mean, there's a certain shaking. I mean, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. And there's a certain shaking that's been happening. And God can use that. You know, when things are going well, as Pastor Karen was just sharing with us, when things are going well, people, they're self-sufficient. I don't need God. I can live my life without him. And that's why, as we just heard, God warned them, beware, lest thou forget get me when the blessings are there. But often in a hurricane, when people lose everything, and many people, they lost their homes, they're flooded, all they have is the clothes they get out of it with. Some have died. And often people are, you know, are more open to the things of the Lord when things are going wrong and when calamities are happening. And it tells us in Isaiah 26 and verse 9, "For when thy judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth will learn righteousness." And often people are more open and likely to turn to the Lord, even in times of disaster and shakings. But there's others, of course, who will just harden their hearts, who will harden their hearts against God. And part of God's nature, yes, he must judge sin. He's a holy God. But we know he is also a God of mercy. He had mercy on Nineveh. And they were very, very wicked. And we're in a desperate situation today. Every day, virtually. Some suicide attack, violence, hatred, racial tensions, terrible immorality, adultery, abortions, homosexuality. I mean, it goes on and on. And the key to change is not a political party. It is not some man. It is not people. It's not politics. But the key, the answer, is God's people. you and me, if God's people who are called by my name, a verse we know and heard so much, but nevertheless, it is true. If God's people, God, we are the key to the nation. We are the key. God was going to destroy the children of Israel at the time of Moses because of their idolatry in worshipping the golden calf. But Moses was the key. Moses was the key. He cried out to God. He interceded for them. There was repentance. There was intercession. And that judgment, again, was of Nineveh. Was not destroyed. The children of Israel were not destroyed. God held back his judgment. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah, they were destroyed. But if there had been 10 righteous people in the city, God could have had mercy upon them. God could have spared the judgments that took place on Sodom and Gomorrah. If there had only been 10 righteous people, my people who are called after my name, you know, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. Turn from their wicked ways. In other words, there would be repentance. Repentance would come. In the prayer of Habakkuk, in Habakkuk in chapter 3, Habakkuk in chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, Habakkuk chapter 3, I'm sorry, verse 2. Lord, I have heard thy speech or thy fame, and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. Habakkuk the prophet, he's crying out to God for revival. And we're in a desperate situation. Revival is the only answer. And Habakkuk is praying, O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. And then at the end of that verse, of verse 2, and it's a verse that's been really on my heart and God's quickened to me just recently. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. In judgment, he prays. He prays, Lord, even at a time of judgment, remember mercy, remember mercy. Mercy. And this prayer of Habakkuk, actually, it was a prayer for revival, and that prayer of Habakkuk, it was actually answered during the revival in the time of Josiah. Before the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC by the Babylonians. And this prayer of Habakkuk also speaks prophetically of the last day revival before the great tribulation and, you know, the great judgments upon the earth. In wrath, in judgment. Lord, remember mercy. Remember mercy. And we see that with Jonah. It was a time of judgment. They were ripe for judgment because of the terrible things they'd done. And God would have just, if they had not have repented, Nineveh would have been destroyed in the same way that Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. But Habakkuk's praying, he's in wrath, remember mercy, remember mercy, remember mercy. Jonah eventually got back on track. He was given a second chance. He preached repentance. And they humbled themselves. They put on sackcloth. They even fasted. Even the animal, children fasted. Even the animals were given no food and no water. I mean, they were serious. They fasted. They cried out. They repented. They repented. And God had mercy and they were spared. And they were spared. And they were spared. Judgment was delayed. In fact, it was not till 160 years later. They would have all died before that time. But eventually, judgment came in Nineveh. And repentance, I believe, is such a key. repentance of God's people. And, you know, it's easy to talk, well, what other people should do. But it begins with me. It begins with you. We need to repent. Revival, I believe God is going to send. We have had many promises, many prophecies. But it's not just going to fall out of heaven. There's our responsibility. We must turn. My people, if they will turn from their wicked ways, God says, I'll heal your land. I'll make your land great again. And Jonah's preaching that for the 40 days, when they were going to be judged, it would be the equivalent of the 40 days would have been up on the Day of Atonement, a day when they're dealing with sin. And we need to deal with sin in our hearts and our lives. God wants to cleanse us, to purify us. You know, that's what the Day of Atonement was all about. Isaiah 52:11, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord. You know, our hearts must be clean. There must be repentance, an ongoing repentance. I mean, repentance is not just a one-time thing. There's a process. God deals with something. God brings it to the light. We repent. We deal with it. Then God will, some other area that we need to work on. But God wants to work a deep repentance in all our lives. Who are the ones who are going to go up to Zion? Go up the hill of the Lord. Psalm 42. 24, 2 and 3. He who has clean hands, our works, and a pure heart, our motives. Who does not lift up his soul unto vanity, nor has sworn deceitfully, or who speaks lies. Ezekiel tells us, Ezekiel 36:26, a new heart will I give you. And I will take away the stony heart, the stubborn heart, the hard heart out of your flesh. And before God moves, there must be a fresh cleansing of our hearts, to purify our hearts, to deal with areas of hardness, rebellion, stubbornness, circumcising our hearts. And I'm preaching to myself as much as I am to you. In the Welsh Revival, you know, whole communities came to the Lord, 1904. And God was dealing with hearts. God was dealing in great waves of repentance. There was great conviction of sin. They'd cry out to God. A spirit of repentance came and changed lives. And about a third of the whole nation of Wales at that time turned to the Lord. They repented. There was great repentance, great conviction of sin. A New Zealand minister went to the Congo in the mid-50s. His name was Ivor Davies. He was crying out to God to move in the situation, God to move in the area where he was. And God gave him a vision, and he saw this stone. And he said, and God spoke to me, he said, this is your heart. You are not receiving blessing because your heart is hard. It is critical. It is jealous of other missionaries. Conviction of sin came and repentance came. And he went to some of the other missionaries and put things right. His attitudes, his words. He went to some of the national workers. And he humbled himself and he put things right and repented. And then God gave him another vision. And there was a stream of blood came. And when that blood touched the stone split in two, that God could break his hardened heart. And as a result of that repentance that began with that missionary, began just with one missionary, repentance, and then repentance, then others began to repent, and others began to repent. And the result was there was great revival and thousands of people came to the Lord before Isaiah the prophet could come into a deeper ministry. He had that vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord. But then he saw his own heart and he saw his own life. Woe is me. I'm a man undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. He was already a preacher. Woe is me. And there was repentance in his heart. He wanted to change. He wanted to be set free. He wanted to turn from that sin. His uncleanness of his lips. The seraphim got the fire from the altar and touched his lips and cleansed him after repentance. And then the word of the Lord came. He spoke these words. He said, "Here am I, Lord. Send me. Send me. Use me. Send me." What are our lips? Are they critical? Are they murmuring? Complaining? Do we speak with kindness and love to our husbands, our wives, our children? With our lips, do we tear down? Or do we build up and encourage? There was a purging, there was a cleansing. And it was only after that cleansing that God was able to encourage him. The Apostle Paul, when he's preaching at Athens, he said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. He will judge the world in righteousness. And I believe this morning, God wants us to examine our hearts. God wants us to search our hearts. As David prayed, he said, "Search my heart, O God, know my thoughts, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." My people, 2 Chronicles 17, my people who are called by my name, my people, if they turn from their wicked ways, if they repent, to acknowledge their sin, to be sorrowful for their sin, to confess their sin, to change, to forsake. Purify our hearts. And I believe this morning, God is wanting to purge. God is wanting to cleanse afresh. God is wanting to give the gift of repentance. And I sense, even as I've been speaking, some of you know the area exactly what it is. Maybe it's your lips, what you've been speaking, your tongue. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's jealousy. Maybe it's comparing ourselves with others, which is unwise. God has a different purpose for each one. Maybe it's bitterness, unbelief, hardness of heart, stubbornness, lust, harsh words, slander, pornography. And I believe some, you know exactly what it is. And I believe this morning the Lord is calling you to repent. And there's others here. Maybe you're not aware of anything, but I want you to pray. Just ask the Lord, "Search me, O God, search my heart." You know, we don't even know our own heart. The heart is wicked and desperately corrupt. Ask the Lord, "Search my heart. Lord, reveal, show me things that are hindering, that need to be dealt with, that need to be repented of." And just as we close, we're going to sing a chorus now. And I just want to, as Pastor Daniel comes, I just want those of you know there's some area in your life. I just want to invite you, come to the front. Meet with the Lord. Ask God to cleanse, to purge. And others here, if you also want to come to the front, if you just want to come, "Lord, show me, search my heart. open, show me, Lord, if there's anything I need to put right. And I invite you to come as well, and we'll ask the Lord to do a work of repentance. If my people will turn from their wicked ways, what does God say? I will heal their land. And God, I believe, wants to send mighty revival. But we must be a people who are ready.